It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets. We have Victor Avila back, Agent Under Fire. If you have not seen the book, read the book, you need to read that book. It is incredible. I will give you, since you haven't been on a little bit, Victor, I'm going to give a little bit of background on you so people know, you know, because you are like so prescient on what's going on. I remember when we first did an interview over 3 years ago, you're like, the border's going to blow up. And the border was, nothing happened. I was like, okay. And sure enough, under, you know, the Biden administration, it blew up. So Victor is a retired supervisory special agent with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, Homeland Security Investigations under the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS. While on assignment in Mexico, Special Agent Avila suffered multiple gunshot wounds and survived a violent ambush by the Los Zetas drug cartel. Special Agent Jamie Zapata was killed. Victor, how's it going? Thanks for joining us.
Great to be back with you. Well, it's a better day, right? We have somebody else different leading our country, so that's very exciting.
Yeah, boy, okay.
I'll tell you, I was able to go to the inauguration. This is the very first presidential inauguration that I attended, and we had such a great time in D.C. that you could just feel the atmosphere of freedom, of law and order, of all the things that I've been fighting for all my career in my life. Is like, okay, here we get the opportunity to not only talk about it, but to implement some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Yeah. So like I said, I mean, you have a very good insight on what's going on at the border. I remember Juan O'Savin introduced me to you and said, you got to like interview Victor. He's like amazing. So we've done several interviews now. You have been, like I said, very prescient on, you know, things that are going on and what's coming. What do you see coming, and give us like a, you know, overall view of what's going on at the border?
So obviously we're in a very, very unique time, and there are going to be some changes that are going to come. And some of the stuff that I'm going to say might not be very pleasant, but this is, I got to tell you what I feel is going to happen. And that's dealing with the cartels. So all of a sudden, for the last 4 years, the cartels have had basically carte blanche, moving in people, fentanyl, meth, human trafficking, smuggling, and had a field day. And then a few days ago, it shut down. And just with the, if you look at the numbers, I mean, it's an all-time record low across. I think there was under 500 for the entire border of people, illegals that were interdicted, caught, which is, I mean, incredibly low. So all of a sudden, the movement of the illegal goods and people is stopping. But guess what? The cartel's not going to stop. They want their fentanyl through. They want their people through. And so what's going to happen? There's going to be a reaction from the cartels. I'm telling you, they're going to, there was a shooting already yesterday.
Yeah.
Down in South Texas. Is that related or not? Well, they were trying to move a load. That's what they were trying. They're bringing in a load of people, and they shot at BP. Border Patrol shot back, and that was the end of it.
Wow.
But, which is, let me tell you, first of all, that's not very uncommon. That's not uncommon in the border. However, I think the cartel is going to be, right now they're getting a desperation mode where they're going to be like, hey, all this stuff is piling up here in Mexico, and we got to get it in. And they're going to have to, they're going to try it. You're going to see smuggling go up. You're going to see tractor trailers being caught with people, the back of trunks of cars. You're going to see stash houses. You're going to see all that, because now they can't come up and turn themselves up to Border Patrol. That's over. So they need to be smuggled undetected, and they're going to try. And some are going to get through, not many, but you're going to see the stash houses, because they need to put these people somewhere. They need to put the drugs somewhere as before they distribute them through the country. You're going to see those activities go up. And I also actually think that the seizures at the ports of entry are going to skyrocket, because now they're going to go back to the gas tank, the tires, the old remedies of bringing in drugs, even people through the ports of entry. You're going to see a lot of interdiction from CBP at that point, and you're going to see seizures, boom, skyrocket, because there's going to be more activity at the ports of entry. So how is the cartel going to react? Are they going to react violently? Are they going to say, I don't like this? Are they going to shoot at? Are they going to come? Is there going to be some kind of event at the border? That is yet to be seen. But this is where, especially because they were declared foreign terrorist organizations.
Yeah.
That's the I've been advocating for that for years. So now it's a game changer. Now we treat them very differently than a regular organization. They're terrorists. So you could go after them and anyone that associates with them or finances them. How many people in the U.S. are dealing with the cartels? A bunch of gangs in Texas and Chicago and L.A. are dealing regularly with the cartels. Well, now they're dealing with a terrorist organization. That means that they get to get picked up too. You can't be dealing with a terrorist organization, just like you can't be talking to ISIS. So that is going to, there's going to be that ripple effect as well. And when you see the cartels being damaged and dismantled slowly from the bottom up and the top down, there's going to be a reaction and we have to be prepared. That's why I like that some of the military has been deployed down there. I mean, people are like, why are the Marines? Because the Marines are normally not. Yeah, we're used to National Guard and that. And I've worked with National Guard. Even in my career, we had a National Guardsman assigned to our group. But this is different. And the reason why you have these Marines is because they're going to be prepared for any countermeasures or any kind of threat from these cartels. These cartels, as easy as the United States can to take them out, they also are very powerful and they also have a lot of ammunition and military type style weapons that they're not going to go down, you know, easy.
Even former military, I've known guys over the years that have gone down to work for the cartels because they pay well, and they think they're going down to just provide security, but it obviously sometimes evolves into something different. So we have very, very highly trained people that are in these cartels that could really pose a problem. So I'm glad the military is down there.
Yeah, because you're absolutely right. You see the videos that they post. They're propaganda videos. Man, you got felt machine guns. You got rocket launch. You got all this stuff that you didn't think of. And so yes, they could shut down helicopters and stuff like that. So obviously, it's going to depend a lot on what the U.S. government wants to do. And I think that decision can't be a wishy-washy one. Either you're in or you're out. And if it's going to be all in, I think we're going to use the highest tech that we have, drones and such, to take some of these facilities, labs in Mexico, and even cartel members themselves. But a lot of people, you got to remember, they live in the United States as well. We got thousands of cartel members here, and some of them are also illegal. A lot of U.S. citizens, but there are a bunch of illegal aliens that are cartel members that also need to be identified. So all of that is what's happening right now. Now, what you're seeing right now on the street is the almost 2 million people, or I think they say it's 2.2 million illegals that already have deportation orders, meaning that they've been ordered deported because they have a criminal history. They have a conviction and serious convictions of sexual assaults and rape and murder and burglaries and stuff like that. So we have a lot of those. So you're going to see that's why everybody's like, oh, we're only targeting the worst of the worst, which is okay. Yes, it's true. But the big difference is that, and this is going to be the biggest difference that the left is already starting to talk about it, is the collateral, they call them the collaterals. Before, under the Biden administration, Mayorkas has said that if you are in the country illegally, that's it. That's not enough to deport you. And that does not exist anymore as of January 20th. If those restrictions that were placed on ICE and HSI and others, like on me, even from the Obama days, those restrictions do not exist. If you are encountered by an immigration official and you're illegal, they're going to hook you up and you're going to go. And that's the big difference. And that's where the people are going to be like, well, why did you take him? Well, because he was standing next to, we're doing an operation. He's also illegal and she's also illegal. So they're going. And that is where you're going to start seeing more of the pushback, because maybe that one person does not have criminal history. And I get it. I understand all of it. But this is where the enforcement of the law is priority. And then we could deal a lot about immigration and how people can come here legally and all that. But in the meantime, you're going to have to go back and reset back to your home country.
Yeah. So we just had Kristi Noem, a former South Dakota governor, chosen as the secretary, Homeland Security secretary. And I just saw a video where she went on a raid in New York City. That's phenomenal. How do you think that's going to play out as far as, like, you know, given the guys down range, you know, the ability, like, it sounds like the gloves are off, but how far do you think this is going to go?
It's going to go all the way. That Kristi Noem doing that, it sends a good message, you know, whether it was a stunt or not. I really don't care what it means is that the agents on the line are looking at leadership. Like, that's leadership. That's my boss out at 2 or 3 in the morning. That's pretty cool. You don't have to do that. She doesn't have to do that, but she chose to do it. And it shows to the rest of DHS, I got your back. And that's the number one thing, you feel good in law enforcement. And the morale is just going to be boosted through the roof, because it's been on the ground for the last several years, that all of a sudden it improves professionalism and improves the output from these agents are like, hey, I feel good about where I work. And you're going to see that spread in a good way because of the leadership. The same thing with Tom Homan. They got people in these positions that are like, hey, that got the guy right there. He's with me right here. My boss is with me. They got the drugs are the borders are right here with me. So it definitely makes a huge impact and a huge difference, because all you have to do is compare to, did you see Mallorca's ever do that? No. Mm-hmm. These kind of people were like, no, that's beneath me. And so I appreciate that, of them going out there in the field and showing the support for the agents and how the importance of all this is, because a lot of people in the U.S. are feeling like, what the heck is going on? It's like, this is too much, too fast. And it feels like a shock and awe, right? And I'm like, yes, right. That's this is on purpose. And this is the, and by the way, this is not a secret. We told you, the president told you he was going to do this. And so I don't know why some people are kind of shocked about, oh my God, well, we told you that it was coming and now it's here. So you better prepare yourself.
Yeah. You know, Tom Homan talked about it for years. He's been preparing us for it. And then President Trump has told him, you've been talking about this for years. You ready to head it up? And he's like, oh, okay. So now you mentioned that Tom Homan, you guys are friends. And I know you ran for Congress, but you didn't make it. I think that was probably some, you know, pressure not to have you move in that position. But you know, maybe that's going to work out in your favor, because you would like to, you know, come back as a, you know, agent, like a leader in leadership role. I mean, anyone listening to you right now is like, that guy wants to go back into ICE and be a leader. Oh my God, he's got to go. So, but you're saying that, you know, just like in a lot of these instances, you still have a lot of the old guard that is still in there, maybe having some resistance. What do you think is going to happen with that?
I think we're actually in the middle of it. I think the Trump administration is weeding out a lot of these individuals. A lot of them actually, believe it or not, left on their own, because they kind of realize, you know what, I better take a retirement now because I'm going to be gone anyway. So that cleanup is happening as you and I speak. So maybe that's why there's a little bit of delay. But obviously, if I get the call from Tom Homan or President Trump that says, hey, will you come and serve? I'm ready, brother. I'm ready to go back. And public service has been in my blood all my life. And after everything that I've been through, I would love to be in a leadership role to help the agency, help the agents, and ultimately help and improve the public safety of our country.
Fantastic. Wow. You would be, God, you should be like right at the top of the list. So I you know, served in military and the CIA for, you know, 35 years. So you start to see this seemingly group, like Mayorkas group type people, that seem to be interdicting a lot of the things that we are trying to do. And a lot of us call them the deep state. I know you seem to encounter that in Agent Under Fire. You kind of talk about that. You don't go come right out and call them that. But what do you think is happening with that element that has been, you know, in our way? You know, first of all, you and I and most good Americans, we believe in our families. Our families are first. The country and the people are second. And then the government is third, as long as it serves those other two that we're very passionate about. But we've seen there's been some element within the government that has not been serving those other two. And I agree with you, that's being weeded out. But, you know, how much of a problem do you think across not just, you know, the border issue, but throughout the government, how much of an issue do you think that's going to be moving forward?
I think it's a huge issue. I think President Trump is well aware. I think he learned the hard way in his first term in 2016. I even remember all these Obama holdovers were like, what are they still doing in these big managerial positions and SES roles? And like, well, it really didn't clean anything out because they still controlled the narrative. They still controlled what was actually streamed down to the agents. And that right there is going to be the major difference. You know, you mentioned my run for Congress. I thought, well, maybe let me run for Congress. And that's my way of trying to break this cycle. Because I'll tell you, I'm honest with you, we know who the left is. That's easy to identify. It's the ones in our own party, brother, that are like, what kind of Republican are you? And so we have these different categories of Republican conservatives that do not see, at least the way I see it. And I believe in family, God, that first, and country, easy. Those are the core values. But believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there, even within our own party, that don't see it that way. And it's harder because they have an R next to the name and they're defended because of that R. I tried to run against one. and so there's a lot of them still out there. And already I could tell, and I've seen a couple of rhetorics and like not really agreeing 100% what Trump is saying and doing. And I'm like, okay, so you don't have everybody on board. That's why the slim margin that we have on the House is that important, because you literally need every vote. You know what's happening? The positive here, and I love to concentrate on this, is that we're starting to grab some Democrats to come over and vote on our part. You know how the last 4 years, it was always 18 Republicans voted with the left. Yep. So many Republicans voted with the Democrats. Oh, my God. So why don't we always grab some Democrats? There's some good ones out there that are in the centrist. And I think that's starting to happen. Not as many. I mean, you still have a big problem. They had the Laken Riley Act. And so many Democrats still voted against that. You had other laws against illegal aliens that are convicted of a sex offense. You would think that's a given. Everybody 100% should vote in favor. You had like 153 Democrats that voted against that. So that ideology is very, very strong and is very hard to break the cycle. So one of the ways you do it is replacing these people in these positions that no longer have the authority or the power over that part of the agency. And it makes a huge difference.
That's fantastic. Now, when I worked when I was in the military and when I was in the CIA, I could tell there was like this, like you're talking about, a political element that would sometimes get involved. I think it's fantastic that you have that background. So you can speak very well about that. And you know how that aspect can influence things. Could you see yourself, you know, because I would work around that often. I knew what they wanted. I gave them what they wanted. And then I went and I did the right thing. And then they're like, oh, you did the right thing? That's not what I thought you were going to do. But hey, I look good. So awesome. So
I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know, I have a saying that I wrote in my book. I think I put this in my book, is like, it's time to make the hard right decision instead of the easy wrong one. And it takes courage. It takes a lot of things to make that decision that's not popular. You know, it's the right one, but it's not popular. You're gonna get bullied over it. You're gonna be everybody's going to come after you, but ultimately, you know that it's the right decision. And that's what we need. We need leaders that are not afraid to make that decision. That's going to eventually benefit everyone. I mean, the goal here, we're supposed to be on the same team. The goal is we want a safer neighborhood, a safer state, a safer country, the protection of the sovereignty of the United States. Then we start talking about foreign, which is very important. You know, I talk a lot about the foreign aspect because that's what borders are all about. What about Iran? What about Hezbollah? What about Venezuela? What's going on with these illegals from there? There's a connection. And so this is what ultimately it's about, is the protection of everyone here. And I don't want anybody else to be a victim of a crime. And so, yes, it starts at the top, man. It starts at making those very difficult decisions that you might be mocked about, but you know that that's the right decision, whether it's a financial decision, whether it's a moral decision, whether it's one that it will advance every, not maybe yourself, but someone else, right? And that's what I've been through all this, that I really don't care. There's people that do care. I do want to collect a check. I'm not going to say I like to get paid for my job, but that's it. Like, pay me for my duties and I'm going to work. But there, you're going to see there's good people, for example, at CBP, Rodney Scott, the new CBP commissioner. Whew, let me tell you, cracking the rip or the whip over there, man. I love it. They're going to kind of remission. One of the effects of the last 4 years was, well, that's the way it is. Well, this is the way it is. It is normal this way. No. This is not normal. What happened the last 4 years is out of control. Nobody ever seen it. We have to kind of reshift them and say, no, you're back on the line. This is the scope of your duties. And this is what you have to do. As a matter of fact, you have to do it, because what did President Trump do? He ordered everyone back to work, right? Back to the office. It's there. Get out of your house. Go to the office. You're going to go back to work. So that discipline, man, that I love, not everybody loves it, but that discipline, that accountability, it should be back. You're going to be held accountable for what you do or don't do at your job. Because there's a lot of, I always remember the line they told us at the academy, man. We're out there, we were doing raids, and it was raining, and we were all muddy, and people were complaining, why are we out here, blah, blah, blah. And then they shut us up, and they said, there's 1,000 people behind each and one of you that want to actually be here right there, right now. They will take your spot right now, and they'll replace you in 1 second. So shut up. And we're all like,
I love it. Sounds like Hell Week training. I went through that and I ran that. So yeah, that's the mindset.
And maybe it wasn't shut up. Maybe it was different words.
Well, yeah, exactly. A little stronger wording.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. So you've talked about how, you know, these gangs are in America, and do you see at some point it getting very violent? Do these gangs, you know, start to whip up some action in some of these big cities where they've been given free rein from some of these, mayors and governors that have allowed this to happen, free rein in their cities? What do you think's coming?
I think you're going to see right now all kind of arrests have been kind of without incident. Mm. But let me tell you, you're going to come across these Tende Aragua Venezuelan members. You're going to come across these other violent members. These guys are different, man. These guys are not your typical illegal alien. These guys are coming with a communist, socialist ideology from their home country. As a matter of fact, a lot of them were incarcerated in their home country. And when we showed them and when they put them in our database, it looked like they were clean. They're negative. And they're in here. Lake and Riley case is the perfect example. The guy was clean. Oh, he's a good guy. No, he's a murderer is what he is. And so that guy is going to fight back. Whenever that raid comes to that guy, you saw, you know, remember the big video they've been showing a lot in Aurora, Colorado. These guys are armed. Man, they got AKs on them. Where did they get AK-47? How did an illegal alien get an AK-47? Well, you have to stop and think for a while. Well, that costs money. And somebody is financing them. One of the ways it started, and I've been hearing a lot of intel, is that, for example, the Tren de Aragua, the Venezuelans, made a lot of deals with the Mexican cartels to be able to start financing themselves, because the cartels know their way in and out of our country and in Mexico. And so now I'm hearing that they kind of separated from them. They're on their own. They're starting making their own money. Plus, they have the backing from the regime in Venezuela and possibly Hezbollah through Iran. This is real. I'm not making this up. This is the intel that I'm getting. And so you start looking at the connections to terrorism all the way down to the guy that when you hit that door is inside. And so I know that there are agents and our officers are out there being told this so they can be prepared, because you might have that instance where these guys are going to fire back.
Yeah. Wow. You're very well informed. So when I was still in the SEAL teams, we knew that Hamas was coming over into Central and South America and infiltrating with the gangs. So you're right. There are terrorist elements within those units, and they're operating a lot of times. They're doing the drug running and the human trafficking to fund a larger terrorist organization. These terrorist organizations, like you're saying, want to come in and start to take over these cities and run these cities. And some of these mayors, and they're communists, like we're seeing, or Marxists, like we're seeing in L.A. That mayor there is like, you know, she 100 trips down to Cuba to visit Castro. I guess they had a little some relationship going on or something. But she brought that Marxism back into L.A. So we could see some serious problems in some of these big cities, like you're saying. Wow, that's crazy.
And actually, that mentality that it starts right on the other side of the border of Mexico. They just elected Claudia Sheinbaum, which is a big old communist. Her dad was a member of the Mexican Communist Party back in the 70s. Wow. I mean, this is what makes right there next door, not 6,000 miles away in the Middle East. And so who are the friends? Who are Mexico's friends? Cuba, Venezuela, and these type of countries that are communist countries and socialist countries. China, hello? China has a huge presence in Mexico, and they've had it for years. And so that's why it starts. That's why border security, it doesn't just mean immigration. It means, as a matter of fact, and when I say this, people sometimes get confused. Immigration has nothing to do with border security. And they're like, what? What do you mean? If you think about it, it has nothing. One, immigration is actually a totally separate from border security. No matter what the United States would decide to do with legal and illegal immigration, you still have to secure the border. I went to Israel with Tom Holman a year and a half ago, and I boy, did I get that message clear. In Israel, it didn't matter who the prime minister is. The border is still top of mind every single day, whether they let somebody in or not. Border security is still the same. And that's where the mentality here in the United States, they convoluted immigration in there and started tugging at our hearts because, oh, yes, the baby, oh, the mother. Wait a minute. That's a whole different separate. We're looking at the influx of people that want to hurt us here. Terrorists or people pretending to be an economic migrant. A lot of these Venezuelans, I'm telling you, I saw a lot of them in the last few years going down the border. And you see them and, you know, you're training like, this guy is either been in prison or he's a soldier, one or the other. The way he stood, the way he followed instructions, he was either institutionalized or was a soldier. And neither of those were good things for us because he was trained one way or another and clean criminal history. In he comes. Well, we have a lot of those that are not technically criminal aliens because they're not on paper, on the database. It doesn't show that. But they're out there, and in the crimes that they commit, Michael, they're committing extortion, kidnapping, carjackings, different types of crimes that you normally would not see on a regular basis in the United States. We have property crimes, yes, we have the sex crimes, no, we have all that, but the extortions and the kidnappings are very unique to that ideology because they don't care. They don't care. They're not afraid of the police. I'll tell you that. They're not afraid. They grew up not fearing. As a matter of fact, they grew up being told that the police is their enemy. Any person in a position of authority, they should not respect. Versus us, I was told the opposite when I grew up. Yep. You better respect your teacher. You better respect the police officer. You better respect the person behind the counter. That's how I was trained by my parents. They were not, man. And so police officer to them does not intimidate them.
Wow. So what do you think as far as like, you know, down in Mexico? I've done several trips down to Mexico over the last year and a half, Cancun, and great time. Yeah. I didn't feel any threat down there. But now they're issuing, you know, basically be careful when traveling in Mexico. And they've given a bunch of places. So I think maybe one of those places where you were, you know, shot and stuff. Yeah. So you and your partner. So that this is real. Do you think the police that are down there and the military that are down there, are they overwhelmed? Are they good guys or are they all compromised? What are your thoughts on that?
Not everybody's compromised. And that's actually a very good point. We talk about the corruption all the time. There are good people in Mexico. There are good cops. There are good military members. They want good for their community. They want to do good, but it's very difficult because they hit that wall of corruption every single day, man. And they're being hit up where they're, hey, you die or you take the money. Do you want the lead or you want cash? And that's the choice. And it's very difficult. A lot of them are put in these situations. I tell you, I dealt with a lot of these police officers and military members, and they're in a very, very terrible situation. The difference here is that there's going to be so much pressure from the United States. First of all, already the designation. If they don't step up, there might be tariffs and all this thing that President Trump and we're out there in Cancun, and I agree with you, it's safe. By the way, Cancun, Cabo, and all these, they're safe because the cartel wants them safe. Let's clear that up. They're safe because they want the tourism to come in. Cartels make a lot of money off of the tourism from all over the world. They want that to be safe for them. It's the cartels controlling that. It's not the police. So let's get that clear. However, we don't know how the cartel is going to react. I can tell you in my personal instance, they don't care if you're an American. As a matter of fact, they might want to retaliate because of the pressure that the U.S. government is putting on the whole country, and it affects their cartels. They're going to get frustrated that they can't get their product across. They're going to get frustrated that the bodies are building up on their side. I worked a case in 2010 when I was in Mexico of the 72 migrants that were killed in southeast Mexico, which is on the other side of Matamoros, on the other side of Brownsville, Texas area, that area. Mm-hmm. 72 migrants, because back then they had been extorted. They already had done what they wanted with them, and then they didn't have any use for them. So the cartel's like, execute all of them. So they lined them up on a wall, and they shot them all execution style. One Ecuadorian national survived and was telling the story, and I got we're going to send me down to the scene. I said, I don't need to go to the scene. I'm okay working in from over here. But this is the reason I tell you the story is because that's the mentality of the cartel. If we don't need you or we feel threatened by you, there's going to be a reaction.
And that's a good point for people to realize. You know, we have a lot of cartel here in America, and they will go off at some point. So do you think that, you know, in Mexico, if the United States does go after these terrorist groups, which I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, probably special forces, tier one type guys like I used to be, and you know, very, very surgical type operations. But do you think there is a possibility that there will be those Marines that are massing along the border might actually move into Mexico a little bit to you know, secure the areas?
I don't see the movement in Mexico yet. Okay. I think that the symbolism and the signal that President Trump is sending to Mexico by putting Marines is a huge one already. Sure. Mexico's over there like, what the hell? You're invading our sovereignty. And hey, we're just saying we're putting them right here. But we're ready. But I agree with you. And you're the expert here. And I think that there will be some surgical type of attacks. I think I wouldn't call them attacks. I would say defending our nation. Because they say there's over 100 super labs of fentanyl across Mexico, deep in the mountains and the jungles, all over the place. How about we take some of those out and send a message, right? Sinaloa, the Sonora area on the other side of Arizona to California, is a mess. It's a full-out war. If you see the videos, and just go out, they put all these videos online. You would think you're watching Iraq in 1992. And it's not Iraq. It's on the other side of Arizona, the United States of America. Mm. And shootouts and killings. And this is the fight between the Sinaloa cartel. The split, you know, there was a split between it's the Chapo people, the Sons versus Mayo Zambada. But here is so you can understand how Mexico sees this. Claudia Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico, she does a morning press conference every day. Is so boring. But I listen to them because you get information like the one she did. I think it was yesterday or this morning. I can't even remember. she basically blamed the war that's going on in Sonora with the Sinaloa war on the United States. She said it was our fault. You know why? Because we caught Milo Zambada. Hell, kind of reasoning. We caught the bad guy. So because we caught the bad guy, it caused instability within the cartel. And that's why they're killing each other. Think you see the mentality here? It is nuts, man. Instead of saying, thank you, United States, for taking one of the biggest drug lords that was evading capture for 30 years, 50 years, and you caught him. Well, we want to know actually who was on that airplane and how the airplane, who gives a shit, man? You caught the guy. And so this is what we're facing with Mexico.
Yeah, I'm looking at the news, and Claudia Sheinbaum, she acknowledges that non-citizens deported from U.S. to Mexico. So there is, you know, a tit for tat that's going on. You know, who knows how far this is going to go. I think that once we start to do the strikes into Mexico, you know, it could be drone strikes, could be surgical from, you know, tier one types. That's really going to send that message. Kind of like the Colombian president that said, no, you can't, you know, send any people back to our country. And then Trump said, okay, we're going to do, 25% tariffs. And then we'll up it to 50% a week after that if we don't get any response from you. So it's like, I'll send my own personal plane to pick those people up. So.
But I'll tell you what caught my attention, because we were all on it as it was happening, right? And I'm reading it. Yeah, the tariffs are one thing. What caught my attention is the canceling of the visas.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man. That means every diplomat, every rich guy from Colombia, these oligarchs, you're going to get the heck out of our country. So they're the ones possibly called their own president and said, what the hell are you doing, man? I have a house in Miami. My son goes to Miami, whatever. He goes to Stanford. They go to because that's where those people are here. And they're like, no, what are you doing? You're ruining the whole party for us. And that President Trump knows that. And he said, as a matter of fact, this week, they closed the visa issuance in Colombia at the U.S. Embassy in Bogota to send. He said, well, we'll close it for 1 week. No visas for anybody. And that stood. And he held back on the other ones because, you know, like you said, then an hour later said, okay, we'll accept them. As a matter of fact, we're going to send you our own airplane, right? It's hilarious, but it was. I'm glad that happened,
yeah.
Because you know who's going to be the next one? It's going to be a mayor of our own country or a governor. It's either going to be Denver or Chicago or somewhere up there in Vermont or in Portland. You're going to see one of our own is going to impede ICE. And then we are going to have to, I think President Trump is going to be sick and tired. I think he's already sick and tired of these sanctuary city policies. So he's going to do exactly the same thing he did with Colombia, except it's going to be, you know, Seattle. And you're going to be cut off of funds. We will send in whoever we want to send in. And if you impede us, you're going to be in handcuffs and we're going to prosecute you for that. So they're going to make an example of somebody. I have a feeling it's coming because we're not going to tolerate that. Tom Holman has said a lot. Just leave us alone. We'll do it. But right. If you're in front of us, we're going to hook you up.
Yeah, but what's going to happen once those gunfights start? That's going to get everybody riled up, and they're going to like try and turn it. See what they're doing. See what they're causing. They would rather let these criminals live amongst them than to deport them. And you know, it's just crazy.
That is so true. That is so true, man. I never understood that because a lot of people shy away from conflict in general, even like personal conflict at the store, somebody cut in front of them. They won't say anything because whatever. And I think a lot of it has to do because they made us that way. Right. In the last several decades, there's other words I want to use here that I fought. I have a 20-year-old son. And I taught him how to fight, and I taught him how to, no, you're going to be a man. That's what you're going to be, right? And you're going to know how to treat a woman, all these good things that I think we've lost a lot of in society.
Yeah. Awesome.
I do think that some of the people that have seen some of the raids already happen and these bad guys that have been arrested, they have thanked ICE because even the immigrant community, even the legal immigrant community, don't want the rapist next to them.
Yeah.
They don't want the murderer next to them. And they're like, they have a 14-year-old daughter. Like, I can't let my daughter out because this crazy guy lives next to us. And he happens to be Salvadorian, whatever. Or, you know what? He happens to be Indian or Chinese or African or Eastern European. Don't forget about those because everybody, hey, they're all from Mexico. No, that's not the case. You saw the people that came in here the last 4 years. We got people from all over the globe in this country, and you're going to see a lot of those be picked up as well.
How long do you think it's going to take? I think it's going to take years. But
not going to stop. This is 4 years, not going to stop. What you're seeing right now is only going to ramp up, and I think they had talked about numbers like 1,500 a day. I think that number is going to be low. I think you're going to see 2,000 to 3,000 a day at one point. Double that number, and it's not going to stop, man. It's going to be continuous for 4 years, whatever that total number is. Think about it. I was doing the math yesterday. 2,100 people a day is 800,000 people a year. It's not a lot. Not a lot. So if we want to remove millions, you better start. A lot of people.
Big number.
It's not easy. And the easy part is picking them up. The hard part is the due process, because immigration law is very confusing. Even I that understand some of it, their process, every individual is treated differently because of the way they came in. Did you have a visa? Are you an overstay? Are you have criminal history? Is it your first time or is it your second time? All of these things matter as to how you're processed for removal. Are you going to see a judge or not? Maybe we could just avoid the judge and do an expedited removal. Or a voluntary return where you sign to say, I want to leave now instead of, you know, spending 6 months in a facility. There's a lot of things. Nevertheless, we need the bed space, because in the meantime, while these people are waiting that process, we're going to be picking up more, man. And so that's where I think it's not your traditional pick them up, remove them, pick them up and take them back to the border. No, yeah, some can, but most cannot.
Yeah. So I saw you're talking about, you know, how long it would take. I saw this one person like broke it down. How many people are here illegally? If they took all of the commercial aircraft that move us every day, all of them, and they work for a full month and they didn't move anybody else but illegal aliens, it would take them a whole month to move all the illegal aliens. Of course, it's not going to happen. So yeah, your idea that it's going to, you know, take a long time. They're getting these military aircraft, the big ones, C-5s, you know, they can put like, you know, 1,000 people on there if they do it right. They double bunk it or whatever. So it's going to be crazy going forward.
I want to see what the Biden administration did in reverse. So, you know, they used commercial airplanes. I talked about this for years. I was so upset about the illegal aliens getting on an airplane, on a commercial airplane without an ID. All they did was show their Border Patrol paperwork. And what do you mean? That's not an ID, but they allowed them. Well, why don't we do something similar to use commercial planes to go the other way? Bus them south, put them in a facility, plane them out. Or a plane from Chicago, New York, to Brownsville, Texas, to El Paso, wherever we have the facilities, Laredo. By the way, all of these soft-sided facilities that the Biden administration built, I would suggest we keep them. We already built them. We already spent the money. We're already working them. But now they're not going to be processing facilities. They're going to be detention facilities. You modify them for detention, and now you have these different tents. By the way, remember Ghana facility? It's huge. It could fit several thousand people, like 5,000-8,000 people. And we have one. I walked into one in Zapata County, which is south of Laredo. There's in El Paso, Texas, inside Fort Bliss. There's one outside of El Paso, Texas, in northeast El Paso. We have a bunch of them. We have Eagle Pass. We have Del Rio. We could use those. We're going to need them. We're going to have to build some more. But the same way they did it, we do it the opposite. And, you know, and kind of stream. They were very good, man. I've never seen the government be so efficient at something, but the Biden administration was efficient at bringing people into the country illegally. Oh, you know, the CBP One app that they did, and they, you know, that's all illegal, by the way. I want to see an app, but in reverse. I want to see an app where maybe the illegal wants to deport themselves. They want to self-deport.
Really?
information. You come in, we give you an appointment, you turn yourself in, you arrange your personal things, business, and then you go, and maybe you get a preference. Maybe you get a some kind of consideration to come back legally. But the meantime, something. But let's create an app, maybe another app where people tell us where people, where illegal people are. I don't know. But we have to start thinking the way they were thinking to use it to our, actually, it's not even to our advantage. It's to everyone's advantage here. I think eventually, I think people want legal immigration. They want people that want to be Americans to come here.
Yeah.
No longer, oh, I'm just going to go to the U.S. to get paid, commit crimes. And then, no. Those days are over, man. You have to be, and I'll give you the perfect example, like my parents. They came to the United States legally. They wanted to be Americans. They became naturalized U.S. citizens. They didn't take anything from the federal government. And I'll tell you what they did. They worked hard, very hard, for my sisters and I to go to college. They incorporated themselves, assimilated themselves to the community. They became members of the church. They participated. They hung an American flag. Yes, an American flag in the... My dad to this day has the American flag in his house. That's assimilation. That's, they got married again. I wrote that in the book. They got married again because they felt they had to get married again. My parents married in California and married again in Texas because I don't know why they thought they had to marry again. But they adopted the Constitution of the United States to them. And by the way, they were law-abiding. They didn't break laws. They didn't commit crimes. And that's what I think a lot of people are okay with, because they did renounce their citizenship to Mexico and they became Americans. I don't see that a lot happening. Yes, of course, there's people that want to do that. But a lot of the majority now is not that.
Yeah. So I have this one person in the chat right now. My camera just went off. So she's saying that basically Dallas, Texas has started protesting.
Yes.
Probably some of this is paid. We don't know, who's paying this. Probably the same people that spent $2 trillion to bring all these illegal aliens in over the last couple, 4 years. So what do you think is going to happen with, the protest and so forth? Is that going to be a problem going forward?
I live in the Dallas Fort Worth area, and I saw them, and they're flying the flag from their home country. So I don't understand it. And I'll tell you what, as an agent, I never understood this. People were dying to come to the United States, Michael. They wanted, all I want is to be an American. All I want is to come to the United States. And then they get here, and the first thing they want is, I want to go back to my country. I need to go back to my grandmother's. Well, bro, I'm sorry. You can't have it both ways. You have to choose. And the one of the things that hurts me the most is that these Mexican nationals, they're here in the U.S. waving their Mexican flag, their Salvadorian flag. Well, that, you're not indicating to me that, in fact, you really want to be in the United States. Why are you here? If you hate the United States so much, and you're not even a citizen, what are you doing here? You get paid dollars here, right? You actually have a car here, and you have an apartment that has carpet, and you have a 55-inch TV and a cell phone, and you get to party on the weekends, things that you probably couldn't do in your country. It's not acceptable anymore, man. And so I saw the protest, and I'm telling you, it'll take one time to send HSI SRT with ERO out there, see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of those people had phones, I'm sure, and just track those people down and we saw you from that demonstration, and now we found out that you're here illegally, so we're gonna deport you. You're gonna get the one way ticket back. But I think that's going to be the thing going forward, really overcoming all of the brainwashing I think a lot of people went through as far as we need to allow them to be here. That has to be overcome because they really play on our heartstrings. And we have to be tough going forward because this is a real problem. And I think as we move forward and we see the violence is coming, like we're talking about, people are going to be really serious about, let's get these people out. But I like what you're saying as far as like, you know, if you really want to be an American citizen, volunteer yourself back. We'll give you, you know, a good option of coming back, work visas and so forth. And we will work with you to, you know, be a legal citizen. I think that's a fantastic.
Oh, that'll separate the ones who actually want to be here for the right reasons versus the ones here for economic reasons to, you see, these people come from socialist countries. And what a lot of people had told me, oh, look at these, back when the Venezuelans started coming out, oh, they're all going to be Republicans. No, they're not. No, they're not. I kept on telling them, you know why they're not? Because that's all they know. All they know is socialism, meaning that the government controls them and gives them what they want. And under the Biden administration, is exactly what was happening. They didn't vote. They didn't vote Republican. That's all they know. That's how they grew up and came from these regimes. And so we need to tell them that's not the way it is here. There's a thing called capitalism and responsibility here and accountability. And so if you really want to do that, because they say they don't want to adopt to the culture of the United States. The United States really doesn't have a culture. Yes, it does. You know what the culture here is? Is get your ass to work. Go work and work a lot and make money and buy a house and raise kids. That's our culture. We love this culture. And then we go on vacation a little bit, not like Europe, but maybe we should go a little bit more like Europe. But that's our culture, man. We work. We like to work. We like to be productive. We create a business. We make money. We buy our stuff and we live comfortably and we raise our kids. If you want to do that, that this country gives you the opportunity to do, your country doesn't. That's why you came over here. Then I'm okay with you doing that, but you have to assimilate. You have to assimilate, or else that should be a question on any questionnaire coming in. Are you willing to assimilate to the United States Constitution and our way of living? Or if not, then stay in your country. The burden, I think, President Trump, you're going to see, is place the burden back on these countries at the high level, at president level, and say, listen, you better start doing something about keeping your people in your own country, Nicaragua, Central America, South America, China, India, Africa, Eastern Europe. Man, there's people from all over the world. Put the burden back on them. We've taken the burden on for such a long time, man. That's why we face ourselves in this situation.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic, Victor. Man, I hope you get one of those leadership positions. You definitely deserve to be in one of those. And God, with your background and where you're talking, you could make a massive impact. So if people want to get hold of you, you got your book, Agent Under Fire, book.com.
The website, agentunderfirebook.com. You can still order it. It's still, they still sell, man. They still sell after all these years. You'd be surprised what the border stuff that I wrote at the end, you think I wrote it yesterday. It is incredible how weird that is, that the solutions that I put on there, and it'll give you a very good briefing about sanctuary cities, which we're seeing right now, the wall, all of that. You really will get a good briefing on it. AgentUnderFireBook.com. And then follow me on X at Victor Avila TX, like Texas. Post on there and I post on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll put that in the description box under this video. So the book's under there, and I'll put that link to your X account. I'll start following you over there too. That's great. You're amazing, Victor. Thanks so much for your insights, and I'm sure people are going to get a lot out of this. Appreciate it.
I appreciate always the time with you, brother, and everything that you've done, and I'll let you know if the call comes in.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
I'll see you, man.
All right. Cheers.